This message, WIPPA and everything that's in it, has so much density, so much weight, because it lines up with everything I just said before we started the message. Start to speak life over yourself, over your situation. Begin to speak what God has told you to speak. I want to ask a question now that we're actually recording. How many of you will be honest and say you find it easier to speak your circumstance than the victory or what the word has said? Be honest. Let me see your hands. Yeah, sometimes usually like, look, I just was looking at my mess and you telling me to speak something else, but my life is demanding that I speak the other thing. Circumstances and situations demand it. And when I try to speak the life that I want to speak, and when I try to speak what I want to speak, look like sometimes the pressures get even harder to really keep you from speaking life to your situation. Am I telling the truth? Would you then stop for a minute and consider that that's not coincidental or an accident, but by design, that every time you would attempt to speak your victory, something will rise its head to force you out of a peaceful place or out of the place where you would speak the thing that you need the most? Can't you kind of stop and consider and look at that and say, wow, when I'm not taking any stands, things seem to, it might not be great, but it ain't messing with me. But now that I'm deciding to speak my destiny or life or something that the word says over me, all of a sudden, here comes some pressure. Here comes something to bully me out of my stand. That phone call, that relative, that collector, that whatever the case may be, that bad news, whatever it is that seems to come to challenge, and sometimes it doesn't even have to come from the outside, it just rises up on the inside of you. You're a failure. You ain't never won before. What makes you think you're going to run now? That's why nobody don't like you. You know, whatever the case may be. So my question is, when do we get smart enough to say, oh, I know that trick. Oh, I know that trick. And this time I'm not falling for it. No, when do we break the cycle of routine and stupidity and say, I'm not moved by what I see, but I choose to be moved by what I speak. Yeah. And that word choose, I threw in there intentionally because it's a choice. Anything you any way you decide to feel about a situation, it's always a choice. Nah, I just got so upset with the pressure. Yeah, but the pressure came to challenge where you stood, and you chose to bow to the pressure. You chose to bow to the emotional outburst. You chose, maybe not intentionally in the beginning, but you always have a choice to go the opposite way. So I looked at this week, and I had this video shoot, and I set a tone. And here was my tone. I've been on a lot of music video shoots. DJ church otherwise don't matter. There's always some diva. There's always some troublemaker. There's somebody walking around trying to act like they're larger than life or more important. And they cause, I say, video shoots are like weddings. There's always somebody there starting some crap. I should have been my daughter should have been the maid of honor, and my niece, and why didn't you use your cousins? And it's always usually on the female side, unfortunately, but But come on, or somebody, or the mother-in-law. Always something. So when I went to do this, I spoke. This is mine. I am not the producer or the director, but I am the top dog. All decisions go through me. And I decide that my shoot will have the peace and favor of God on it. I said it comes from the top down. I didn't walk in and say, okay, all of y'all, you better act right. And nope, never said those words. But my behavior set the tone. My faith stood in the air and God honored it. And everybody, believers and non, recognized that there was a presence there that was like nothing they had seen before. Why am I telling you that? I'm not just trying to give you my praise report. In line with what I'm teaching you right now, I really want you to be careful about what you choose to speak, especially under pressure. What you speak at the right Christian time, in the right Christian place, under the right Christian circumstances, is not what's going to hold up. You'll know when I say, now say this with me, you'll say it. You'll believe it. Yes, hallelujah, and you clap. But that's not the test. That's just the class. That's just test prep. Now, you're not going home and doing your homework with what I'm telling you to say. Then when test time comes, you're going to be searching yourself for what was that answer again? And the situation requires you to practice and study something till it becomes who you are. I saw a video. I'm going to get to my points. I'm making points, but I want to lay this foundation. I saw this video, and when Markel came from the Marines, he confirmed it. That they make you practice doing what you do so much that is second nature. They'll take you out on the range to shoot your guns, and they will make you stand there from 7 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock in the evening till your hands are blistered shooting. Crouch and lay down on the floor in sniper position, and you can't move for hours. If you got to pee, you pee yourself. If a bug gets in your face, you leave it. You don't fan and wipe. They said you do that and you give away your position, somebody might see a movement and kill you. So you learn to ignore all the things that would irritate you normally and you feel you need to respond to so that you stay alive. Some of you are catching what I'm saying. They train you to do it so that it's instinctive that your reaction is to defend yourself or to make the right moves tactfully, not out of fear or not out of a rush of anxiety, but practically and tactically because you've been trained to respond a certain way. Your Negroes better listen to me this morning, and those of you who are not. It's important that you train yourself to respond correctly. So now I understand why people pervert the scripture, teach your children the way they should go. And it does not say that. It says train up your child in the way they should go. That doesn't mean say a prayer with them before they go to bed, give them a scripture, or go read that chapter and walk away. But you literally, are you listening to me? Walk them through the process, walk them through the scenario, train them what to do, and train them to it's instinctive in them to respond with prayer or with standing against the forces of darkness. But most parents can't teach that because they don't know it. They know I have a problem. I get on my prayer call. I cry and call my prayer whiners, and we all get together, and we kind of sort of stand and wish that God would help us. Oh, we don't want to have this conversation. But in a life-death situation, you are trained to respond to the threat. Are you listening to me? You are trained to respond to the threat. Who wants to hear more about what I'm saying right here? So, by the way, that's the title, Trained to Respond. So, I started looking at how I've been training myself. Are you listening to me? For this past year. Especially the past year. I've been training myself. What do I mean by that? What do I mean? That's a real question. Okay, I'm preparing myself. I need more than that. What do I mean by that? I like that. Are you practicing something, Mike? I've been continually speaking what I want, and that's all the training. Keep going. No, nobody's wrong. But training yourself, and come on, you're an actor, so you understand what training is. When you train, go ahead. Come on, I'm looking for something. Repetition. You're doing it over and over for what? So it becomes natural. Go ahead, Mike, as an actor. So it becomes easy. Give the man a hand. No, that's real. So it becomes natural. So it becomes easy. So it becomes instinctive. When you get a play, you got a script this big, your part and everybody else's part. You got to read their part. If you're a good actor, your part. Because you got to know when their line ends and your line comes in, and you can read the lines, or you can study that script so that you become that character and you get into the mind of that character, and let me look into the background of that character, because you want to not just respond with the lines, but there's a character that you invoke. I hope you heard what I just said. Because you know what I'm going to do next. Because here we are as believers, not studying our script, not knowing the character of Christ for real, praying, hoping we get something in the time of trouble, not knowing what to expect. See, if I'm in a play with Jesus, I want to know what his line is before mine. And I want to make sure my line is right, because I throw the whole play off. See, God is sitting up there looking at it as the director going, cut. That ain't in the script. I can't respond to that. The actors after you now are thrown off because you spoke wrong. You missed your line. You missed your cue. You missed your opportunity to turn things in your direction. Because the devil does what he does. With no apology. So those of you who work with me close know, and those of you who have not worked with me know, I can't stand excuse makers. I don't like it. I don't like him. Yeah, but you didn't give me a chance because I may let you get away with a couple of those in the beginning, but then you start to see me drift away from you and walk away from you and stop dealing with you. Because I don't like excuse makers. Because excuse makers are always giving you the reason why they should fail. You can try to give it to me as your explanation for what happened, but what you're really doing is you're giving me your reasons to be a failure and why you are one. That's not your line. Your line is what saith the Lord about you, and then you speak that. And even if you need to say to me, you know what? I missed that. But I'm going to study my line, and the next time that comes around, I won't miss that. Next time you have to check me on that, you won't have to. Did you hear what I just said? So, study to show yourself approved. A workman or woman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The scripture asks you to study. Somebody say study. That don't mean read it. That don't mean quote it. That don't mean stick it on your refrigerator and then leave it there like a good luck charm as you walk past the refrigerator. That means you study your script till you know your response. You study your script till you know instinctively your response. So you want me to study the whole Bible? I didn't tell you to study the whole Bible. But tell me what part God has you on right now. What role did he give you? And do you know your part? Because if your part is not right, you interfere with the flow of God's part. And like I said, God keeps flowing. The play keeps going. You just get missed on your part. You get overlooked. You don't get your moment to shine. So I think about I don't want to keep associating things with my life, but I don't have anybody else's life to associate it with. So when we were doing the shoot, the young lady who's the choreographer, I decided I'm going to give you a moment. This video is not about her. It's about Namit. But you came in. You gave it your all. She's like 23 years old. I said, I'm going to give you a moment in this video to solo. I don't freestyle well. I don't care what you do. We're going to put you in front of the camera, and we're going to say action, and you better do something. This is your moment. You may not get another one. Little mama went in. I had to look at the guys and go, she just made this her video. What you're going to do? And Esther said, watch, they're going to come hard now. And boy, they did. Because she said, she realized, this video is not about me and I'm getting a moment. I'm going to seize this moment. But she couldn't seize that moment if she hadn't prepared for that moment. And she's just sitting home watching videos and stuff. The movements and things she did, you can't just pull that out of the air. You've been somewhere doing that all day, every day, somewhere. And when the moment came, what are you practicing for when your moment comes? Now, I know you're living every day, and I trust the Lord. Hallelujah, amen. I wake up every day and say, Jesus, thank you for another day. But what moment are you preparing for? Do you even expect the moment? Am I being too hard here? Started this message by saying, for the past year, year and a half, I've been saying, this is my time. And as a result of saying that, opportunity has presented itself to me to prepare myself, to get myself ready. God said, you need to be in physical shape. You're overweight. You want to run around the world and travel. You're going to have a heart attack running from one airport to another. You need to get in shape. You need to get your mind right about what you're doing and where you're doing it and how you're doing it and what's the steps you're taking. And I've gone in on every level I could go in on that God showed me, sometime to the point of exhaustion, to be ready so when my moment came, I wouldn't miss it. Yeah. Finished 2 albums worth of material. Yeah. Perfected my craft. Perfected my sound, got teachers to help me better my mixes. I did what I needed to do, designed one costume, It wasn't the way it should be. Spent close to $5,000. Went in, spent a couple thousand more, and redesigned it. I did what I needed to do so that when the moment came and God opened my door of opportunity, I'm not like the virgins who don't have enough oil in their lamp and get left behind. So here's my question today. What moment are you preparing for? What are you preparing for? And I'm not asking you to answer this question because I know probably most of you can't answer the question. But it's a real question. Well, I'm just trusting God. That's bull crap. You trusting God for what? What has God told you your destiny is right now? It ain't got to be huge, but it's something. What are you studying for right now? If you were in college, you'd be studying for a test. And I would ask you, what are you studying for? And you would say geography, world science, global history, social studies, my midterms, my finals. You would know that you were preparing for something. So I'm asking you today, in your kingdom walk, what are you preparing for? What are you training for so thoroughly that your natural reaction to it is going to require no thought from you? You're just going to flow into it. I got verses today, but the Lord has not let me let this go. Am I speaking to you, big sis? She said, yes. What are we preparing for right now? This is all I'm going to say today, Lord. I'm going to stay on the point you gave me, and I'm going to wrap it right here. What are we preparing for? What are you preparing for? Not we. I don't want to make it we, because I don't want you to make this a church. This ain't a global question. This is an individual question. What is the moment that is coming your way that you're getting ready for? And if you're getting up and going to work every day and coming home and I just come home and crash across the bed, I'm just so tired, then that's what you're getting ready for, to go to work and come home and go to bed. That's your life. Be ready for it as far as you're going. I'm 61. I work harder probably than anybody in this place. Preferring dreams and destinies, not just mine, but other people's. What are you preparing for? What is God telling you to be ready for? Because I'm going to make a move in this season. And when I move, I need you to be ready. And I don't have to stop and wait on you, because he's not going to. Like I said, the bridegroom will come. The doors will close. And he'll say, well, the next train is coming in 10 years. We'll see if you're ready then. May not be 10 years, but I'm just for dramatic effect. Some of you have missed your train by 10 years. There are trains of mine that I know I've missed by 30. I'm not missing this one. I'm not going to pull up the verses I want to pull up today. I don't feel led to do so. But I do feel led to say, we need to take our training more serious than we do. Amen. Going to church, saying church cliches, calling the trip prayer circle, fasting every time you get in trouble. Because that's what people do. You know why you fast when you get in trouble? Because you're not trained for nothing. You're not trained. Stop and take a minute right here, and those of you watching online, and just ask God, ask yourself right now, what is my next destiny? What should I be preparing for? Where should I be perfecting myself in you so that when your opportunity comes, I'll take it? And while you're doing it, the enemy will try to introduce to you, but you don't know this, you ain't got that, and you don't have that yet, and all you need is this, then you could do that. Just blow all of those thoughts away. Don't receive none of them. Because when God spoke to me last year and I came here and said, I'm going to do a video, I didn't have a director, I didn't have any dancers, I didn't have a team, I didn't have anything. I didn't know how I was going to do any of this. None of the stuff that came together Thursday existed. I knew none of the people that were part of what I'm doing right now. None of them existed. None of them existed. None of them existed.
And I went from having absolutely nothing in less than a year to a full film crew, production team, choreography team, dancers, costume designers, and everybody on my team. Because I prepared. And one of the ways God told me to prepare was save money. Yeah. Stop spending your free money that you get on your pleasure and start stacking. Every dime you can stack. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And I did that. Got enough to shoot my video and go buy me a new car. That was God's reward to me for being obedient. And walking the dealer with cash. What are you preparing for? Stop telling me what you're struggling with. Stop telling me what you're working on. Tell me what you're preparing for. What's that next big step? What are you doing? What is God telling you you're doing next? What has God been telling you he wants you to do for the past decade that you haven't prepared for yet because you're waiting for magic time to happen? And when is God's time? No, it's not. Because when it's God's time, you won't be ready. This is my challenge to you. Did any of you, I'm not going to ask you to tell me, but when you pray, did any of you come to the realization of what you should be training for at this season? Let me see your hand. I'm not going to ask you to tell me, but I just want to know if you got something. Amen. Amen. You're going to get on it then. No excuses. No justifications. No, if I only had this, I can do that. None of that. You're going to look at what's in your hands, and you're going to work with what you got, and God's going to open the rest of the doors that needs to be open once he sees you're diligent. If you're faithful with little, he'll bless you with much. If you can't even be faithful with the dream, why would he give you the reality? Ooh, that was good. That felt good. Saints, I don't have anything else to say. I think I covered my base for today. Train up yourself in the way you should go. Amen. Don't read a verse. Study to show yourself approved. I don't mean a bunch of verses. I mean whatever it is God is speaking to you right now. I want to get my own place. Okay, then what are you doing to prepare for that? Last thing I'm going to say, but I'm going to bring this up, Esther. Esther starts talking to me about believing for her own place. Most people don't know this, but when Esther moved in, she had almost everything. She went and got a storage facility, and she started buying stuff and just stacking stuff. She had plates and bowls and pots and blankets and covers and so much stuff that once she got her place, she just had to go get it and bring it in there. She was preparing for it. I was impressed with that. I said, that's what I'm talking about. You didn't come in and not know what you was going to do, expecting God's mercy to bring you through. You was ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
That's how I get down. So I love that. You're who know me, you'll know that's how I get down. I'm getting ready for now that you don't even know about because I haven't talked to you about. It says you're really close to me. You don't know that I've been preparing the relaunch of secure technology and a whole new technology that I haven't even discussed with people. Because God never told me to shut it down. I said, okay, then what do you want me to do? There are things that you babies can be doing right now. And if you would be faithful and move and be faithful with that, God will turn that dream into a vision. And then if you're faithful with the vision, then he'll turn that vision into a reality. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you.